Secret History of Israeli Assassinations. In his new book, legendary journalist Ronen Bergman gets top Israeli officials to confess to moral qualms, foul-ups, and horrible mistakes, by Jeff Stein. Modern espionage literature is rife with authors who once plied the spy trade. Ian Fleming invented James Bond after his World War II service as a British naval intelligence officer. David Cornwell, better known as John Le Clair, was still working for MI6 when he penned his first espionage thriller, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. And former CIA operations officer Jason Matthews experienced dodging Russian KGB surveillance teams in Moscow deeply informs his Red Sparrow trilogy. Veteran Israeli espionage journalist Ronen Bergman has taken a slightly different angle into the shadow world of spies, counter-spies, and assassinations. Drafted into the Israeli Defense Forces in 1990, Bergman spent 3 years recruiting and handling informants for the Army's Criminal Investigation Division, where he burrowed into military corruption, drug trafficking, arms dealing, and other crimes. The skills he learned there have served him well as Israel's premier chronicler of the country's principal spy services, the Mossad, Israel's CIA, Shin Bet, its internal security organ, and Amman, military intelligence. I think that the training and experience with the recruitment and running of live agents gives you insights into their situations and their mindset, he says, during an interview to promote his latest book, Rise Up and Kill, The Secret History of Israelis Targeted Assassinations. Like most Israeli men, Bergman, 45, still serves in the Army Reserves and is obligated by law to do so until he reaches the age of 51. But he says there's no cross-pollination between his military service and his reporting on Israeli intelligence. I do not report about things that I do. I am not involved in anything that is connected to what I am reporting about. Nevertheless, his intelligence credentials have no doubt helped him gain the trust of Israeli spy masters and operatives. As the senior political and military analyst for Yedioth Ahronoth, Israel's largest circulation daily, his columns and books have regularly exposed internal debates of the nation's intelligence services, making him a must-read for national security geeks the world over. For Rise Up, he interviewed over 1,000 current and former officials. The book catalogues Israel's six-decade history of negative treatment, the Hebrew euphemism for targeted killing operations, against its enemies, which over time range from fugitive German war criminals and rocket scientists to frontline Arab leaders to Iraq nuclear officials under Saddam Hussein, and then scientists in Iran's nuclear program. And always, of course, there were the Palestinian leaders and later Iran-backed Hezbollah militants to be liquidated. One reviewer said, Rise Up, the title is taken from the Talmudic instruction, if someone comes to kill you, rise up and kill him first, begins to read like an endless police blotter of Israeli's greatest hits. But over some 750 heavily footnoted pages, many top Israeli officials confess to moral qualms, foul-ups and mistakes, killing the wrong person or innocent bystanders, or murdering a Palestinian leader who might have made a good partner in peace negotiations. I asked Bergman if he came across anything really surprising in his research. Yes, he said quickly. One day I was sitting in a North Tel Aviv cafe, not far away from where I live, with someone from the Air Force, and we were discussing all sorts of different topics. And he said, I have something I need to relieve myself of that I kept for so long. It turned out to be the extraordinary story of how, in 1982, on orders from then Defense Minister Ariel Sharon, Israeli pilots nearly shot down a civilian plane because of the Mossad team's mistaken belief that PLO leader Yasser Arafat was aboard it. Only a last-minute correction by Mossad operatives saved the lives of the passengers, which included Arafat's look-alike younger brother, Fathi, a pediatrician and founder of the Palestine Red Crescent Society, and 30 wounded Palestinian children he was taking to Cairo for medical treatment. In the book, Bergman hints that Sharon, who was long obsessed with killing Arafat, might have authorized his fatal poisoning in 2004. But even if he knew it to be true, he writes, the military censor in Israel forbids me from discussing the subject. For the last 2 decades, Bergman tells me, I am in constant struggle with Israeli military censorship and the Israeli administration. He has been called in for a few interrogations, and authorities have issued indictments against my alleged sources. In 2010 and 2011, the Army Chief of Staff demanded the Attorney General to open an inquiring investigation against me for high treason. They have been fighting fiercely against me and my work. But Bergman had gained many allies for his probes, especially within the Mossad, it appears, whose recent leaders have feuded, sometimes openly, with the right-wing pro-settler administration of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's not surprising, then, that Tamir Pardo, just one of the former Mossad chiefs who were sources for Bergman, praises Rise Up. It is the most impressive book I have seen on the subject, and the first one written using real research rather than fictional narrative, he said in a blurb for the book. The Mossad, of course, has loomed large in fiction, one of the biggest myths portrayed in Steven Spielberg's 2005 film Munich. Was that its agents hunted down and assassinated the Palestinians who carried out the murder of 11 Israeli athletes and a German policeman at the 1972 Olympic Games. In fact, Bergman says, most of the people who were involved in Munich were never killed or caught. The Mossad started to kill whoever they could. The people that they killed, most of them, had nothing to do with Munich. Spielberg's film, he says, was based on a book that relied on the account of an Israeli who claimed to be the lead assassin in the hit team, but in reality was a baggage inspector at the Tel Aviv airport. But kill they did, liquidating scores of targeted Palestinians over the ensuing decades. The Mossad also launched ruthless operations against Hezbollah, most notably the group's mastermind Imad Hughnyeh, whom it took out with a car bomb in coordination with the CIA in 2008. When it comes to assassinations, Bergman says, the shekel stops at the Prime Minister's desk. The Mossad is not a rogue agency. Israeli intelligence dispatches hit teams with the approval of the Prime Minister and, it seems, the overwhelming approval of the Jewish nation. But the intelligence community doesn't always agree with the Prime Minister. In the run-up to Israel's 2015 elections, Netanyahu stoked fear of an Iranian nuclear bomb and strongly hinted Israel would preemptively attack Iran's nuclear program. Netanyahu even held several military exercises to underscore his intent, moves that prompted some former intelligence chiefs to warn the country against what they regarded as his excesses. Wake up! Implored one of the Mossad's most ruthless former chiefs, Mir Dagan. Fiercely opposed to Netanyahu, he prayed that Israeli citizens will stop being hostages of the fears and the anxieties that menace us morning and night. In the past, pronouncements by such august Israelis would be treated as sacred, Bergman writes, but no longer. The strength of the old elites has ebbed, he says. New elites, Jews from Arab lands, the Orthodox, the right wing, are in ascendancy. Moderation is out, extremism is in. Israeli leaders claim an absolute right to the occupied West Bank and all of Jerusalem. The Orthodox parties in the ruling coalition campaign for a Jewish theocracy over an Israeli democracy. The same often goes for Israel's Mizrahi Jews, many of whom were expelled from their Arab homelands when Israel was created in 1948. If anything, there's more popular support than ever for the security agency's robust elimination of both external and internal threats. The problem is that none of its tactical victories has brought Israel anything more than a temporary reprieve from immediate threats, much less peace. The cycle of violence, now in its 7th decade, is not likely to abate considering the turmoil in Syria and Iraq. Rocket attacks from Gaza, missile threats in southern Lebanon, and the menace of Iran. One of the many ironies in Bergman's often riveting account is that several Mossad, Shin Bet, and Amman leaders have emerged after their blood-soaked tours of duty to say enough is enough. I call it the Balanity of Evil, former Shin Bet chief Ami Ayalon told Bergman, echoing the outspoken sentiments of six former security agent chiefs in the extraordinary 2012 documentary The Gatekeepers. You get used to killing. Human life becomes something plain, easy to dispose of. And what did it accomplish? We wanted security, Ayalon said in 2012. And we got more terrorism.